Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about incoming winter weather, school standardized test results, and how rural Montanans are working to improve healthcare access. It's Wednesday, October 9th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. The Beartooth Pass is closed for the season. Kay Erickson has the details.
The Montana Transportation Department made that announcement Tuesday morning because of excessive snow and adverse winter conditions. The road between Red Lodge and Vista Point on U.S. Highway 212 had been scheduled to close for the season this weekend. Red Lodge is predicted to see 12 to 18 inches of snow from this storm system. The Wyoming side of the pass closed for the season on September 25th. The Beartooth Pass is scheduled to reopen by Friday of Memorial Day weekend 2020. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Kay Erickson.
The National Weather Service is predicting the heaviest snow will fall this morning, just in time for the morning commute and when children will be heading off to school. Billings School District Superintendent Greg Upham reminds parents to follow cold weather procedures the school district has developed. They include waiting at the bus stop with your children until the bus picks them up, which could be running late because of road conditions, and allow extra time to get to the bus stop or school. Parents are urged to dress kids appropriately for the cold weather with sweaters, pants, winter coats, hats, scarves, socks, and boots. Elsewhere in the region, HRDC in Bozeman and Livingston will open a warming center for two nights this week. They will be open Wednesday, October 9th from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and on Thursday, October 10th from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. The warming facility in Bozeman has capacity for 44 men, women, and families, while the Livingston Center has capacity for 12. State wildlife officials euthanized a grizzly bear that was suffering from a gunshot wound late last month. State and federal officials are now asking for information on who shot the bear near Whitefish. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton has more.
Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks received a report late last month of a grizzly bear near homes in Olney, north of Whitefish. FWP planned to capture the bear and transport it back to the wilderness, but noticed it was in poor condition once it was trapped. FWP spokesperson Dylan Tabish.
On September 23rd, near Pothole Drive in Olney, our Fish, Wildlife, and Parks officials trapped a grizzly bear and then had to euthanize that bear due to its deteriorating condition from a gunshot wound.
Now FWP and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are asking the public for information.
There's a lot of different penalties for it, but grizzly bears are protected as threatened species under the Endangered Species Act, and there is a penalty for illegally shooting a grizzly bear.
Anyone with information can call FWP anonymously at 1-800-TIP-MONT. And Fish and Wildlife at 406-329-3000. There is up to a $2,000 reward for information. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
As the U.S. Supreme Court heard a case on LGBT discrimination protection yesterday, the Billings City Council canceled plans to introduce a non-discrimination ordinance this month because of uncertainty surrounding its passage. I found out more. Ward 1 City Council member Brent Cromley posted on Facebook last week his decision to not propose an initiative to pass a non-discrimination ordinance during the October 15th City Council meeting.
We would have a large public spectacle of opposition and thought it might be better to wait until the council was a little bit more favorable, a little bit more predictable in terms of passing it.
Cromley's proposal would have extended legal protections to LGBT people, making it illegal to deny housing, employment, or access to public accommodations based on sexual or gender identity. Montana state law doesn't have similar protections. Councilmember Brent Cromley.
Just an important thing, both in terms of human rights and also for the economic stability and growth of the city. I mean, we're trying to compete with other cities for particularly younger populations, and we're not doing that now.
In 2014, Billings voted down an NDO by 6-5. Then-Mayor Tom Hanel cast the deciding vote, saying he didn't believe Billings was ready for an NDO. Council members Sean Brown and Mike Yakowitz voted against the 2014 NDO and said it was because their constituents were against it. Both remain on City Council and declined to comment on the 2019 policy. Amelia Marquez helped organize grassroots support for this year's NDO and is a member of the LGBT community.
So I think that it was just a matter of timing and that a lot of folks within the LGBTQ community just didn't feel like it was another pressure that we should add on to the current council, and that it is definitely something that, while we wish that we had it, it's probably something that we can wait for until next year.
Missoula, Helena, Butte, Bozeman, and Whitefish all have NDOs. Helena, Bozeman, and Whitefish adopted their NDOs unanimously. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. Governor Steve Bullock ordered a temporary stop to sales of flavored e-cigarettes yesterday. The emergency rules take effect October 22nd. Montana Public Radio's Corin Cates Carney reports.
Bullock is directing the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services to enforce the 120-day ban on flavored e-cigarette sales. The uncommon move to issue this kind of emergency health order is prompted by what his administration is calling a, quote, rapidly developing public health crisis, unquote. Greg Holzman is the state medical officer for DPHHS.
We have an epidemic across the country of youth using these products.
According to a 2019 survey of high schoolers, the number of Montana students who say they use e-cigarettes or vapor products frequently has tripled in the last 2 years. The emergency rule taking effect later this month requires store owners to take flavored e-cigarettes off their shelves. The rule also applies to the online sale of vapor products intended for delivery to a person living in Montana. The state health department says it has the authority to make emergency rules when there is, quote, imminent peril to public health, unquote, that cannot be averted by the administration in any other way. The temporary ban only applies to flavored e-cigarettes. But the state health department says unflavored vaping products are also not safe. Bullock's call for an emergency rule lands on the same day health officials in Gallatin County identified Montana's second confirmed case of vaping-related lung illness. The Gallatin County case announced Tuesday matches the majority of the nearly 1,100 confirmed and probable cases nationwide of pulmonary illness related to vaping and e-cigarette use, as reported by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. According to the CDC, no one product has been linked to the illnesses, but most contain THC, the psychoactive compound found in marijuana. Montana's temporary ban follows plans by the Trump administration to ban the flavored products. Retailers have legally challenged similar bans in at least one other state. I'm Corin Cates Carney, Montana Public Radio News.
Standardized test results released Friday show that Montana middle school students are lagging in literacy and math. Kayla DeRoche has more.
This year's scores show that around half of students grades 3 through 8 scored at or above proficiency in English language. That's the equivalent of a C grade or above. Meanwhile, the same students scored around 42% proficiency in math. According to numbers from the Office of Public Instruction, math proficiency rates for students in upper middle school were almost 6% worse than younger middle school students. State Superintendent Elsie Arnson.
If there is such a large disparity between a fifth grade math standard and an eighth grade math standard, then, and the scores are reflective of that, then the state needs to go back and look to see if the standards are achievable. If they're not, then we need to redo those.
Montana is one of 11 states using the federally funded Smarter Balanced Assessment to measure middle school students' progress. Arnson says there are a number of factors that affect standardized test scores, from learning disabilities to struggles at home, and there are other ways to assess a student's progress, like attendance and report cards. Beth Grau, director for the Center of Early Childhood Education Research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, says balanced early childhood education may contribute to student success in middle school, although it's one piece of a larger whole. She says there's small but strong evidence that high-quality preschool could change children's educational trajectory.
First, it's contingent on high-quality preschool. And given the lack of infrastructure to support high-quality preschool, we don't have enough of it.
She says good preschool helps children with their emotional, social, and educational progress.
So you need something that satisfies both the care and the education piece. And you need to have a program that pays the teachers enough money so they don't have to get a second or third job to live.
She says the benefits of a preschool program won't last long if students don't have great teachers in first through third grade, too. Proposed legislation to direct public funds into preschool failed in the Montana legislature this year. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
A lawsuit filed Monday alleges a child at a private therapeutic home that was closed this summer amid abuse allegations was also forced to work on employees' personal property. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports on the latest allegations against Ranch for Kids.
According to the complaint, Rachel Limewood of Washington State sent her child, referred to by the initials D.O., to the Ranch for Kids to get treatment for reactive attachment disorder. The ranch's website says it specializes in treating Russian adoptees with that and fetal alcohol syndrome. Court documents allege that D.O. was forced to perform maintenance and repair work at the defendant's properties for 8 hours at a time. The suit argues that meets the definition of an employee under Montana state law. The suit filed Monday in U.S. District Court in Missoula names Ranch for Kids, Executive Director Bill Sutley, his mother and Vice President Joyce Sterkel, brother and presiding officer Daniel Sutley, as well as 10 unnamed individuals. Allegations laid out in court documents also say D.O. was subjected to physical and mental abuse, as well as periods of isolation that could last, quote, weeks on end. State health officials made similar allegations when they removed kids from the ranch and suspended its license this summer. The family is also alleging that the ranch was deceptive in its advertising practices, amounting to fraud. The complaint calls for the defendants to pay $75,000 in damages, attorney fees, and back wages for D.O.'s work. Documents also call for a trial by jury. Calls to Ranch for Kids were not returned by deadline, and the law firm representing the family, Reap, Bell, Laird, and Jasper, was not available for comment. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
While over half of Montana's population is considered rural, about 40% of the state's primary health care providers are based in just three cities. That means many people don't get the care they need or have to travel long distances to find it. As Rachel Kramer reports, a new program aims to change this by giving nurses additional education specific to working in rural communities.
Sarah Nordland grew up on a ranch in northeast Montana. She says she had an interest in healthcare from a young age and became a certified nurse's aide when she was 15. When she received some scholarships from Garfield County, Nordland says she knew she would return.
Felt like it was a little bit of my responsibility to give back to the community.
Nordland is now the director of nursing at the Garfield County Health Center in Jordan.
Our county is similar to the state of Connecticut in size. So some people have to drive a half hour even to get to our facility, and then we're 83 miles from the nearest higher level of care.
She says she likes working in a rural community, but it does require some special skills, resourcefulness, and an eagerness to learn. Often, a nurse will be in charge of covering the ER.
If you go to the emergency room in Billings or Great Falls or any of those places, they have somebody that comes in and does your lab, does your x-ray, mixes your drugs and brings them to you. And out here, we do all of that on our own.
To help fill a healthcare gap in Jordan, Nordland is working towards becoming a nurse practitioner through Montana State University. Her degree will allow her to diagnose patients, write prescriptions, and do a lot of the same things that doctors do. The Doctor of Nursing Practice is a rigorous 3-year program, but this fall, students like Nordland will have an opportunity to get even more training that's geared towards rural Montana. The new Rural Ready Nurse Practitioner program trains students on suicide prevention and advanced life and trauma support. People accepted into the program will get mentorship at rural healthcare facilities and learn how to use tools like telehealth to consult with remote healthcare specialists. The 20 doctoral students selected for Rural Ready will also be eligible to receive up to $17,500 per year to help pay for tuition, textbooks, and travel.
Lots of times people assume that, oh, you know, I can't move, so I can't go to school. But we've really tried to make an effort of letting them know that doesn't have to be the case.
That's Stacy Stelflug, an assistant professor of nursing at MSU and the director of Rural Ready. She says most of the coursework is online, which works well for people who live in rural communities and may have work and family obligations. Since Montana doesn't have a medical school, Stelflug says a lot of doctors and specialists come from out of state. Many of them have trouble adjusting to life in a small town and move on after a few years. As someone who grew up in Glasgow, she says she knows firsthand what kind of impact this can have.
They show up, they're there for a couple of years, and then they leave. And that's really hard on families that live in rural communities. I know it was hard on my family as well to sort of have that rotating door of providers and never really get that one that, you know, was just basically a part of your family.
About 80% of the graduates from MSU's Doctor of Nursing Practice stay in the state as nurse practitioners. With the new Rural Ready program, Stelflug is hopeful more of them will continue to put down roots in communities where they are needed most. She and her colleagues are currently in the process of reviewing the Rural Ready applications for this fall's class. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.